Good morning, folks. Good to see everybody out. You've made my day just by being here, and I thank you for being a part of what God's doing here at Salem Sayers this morning. Let's take your Bible, if you will, and let's go over to 1 Corinthians this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Doing a little house cleaning here. Okay. Great chapter that we have here before us this morning in 1 Corinthians 12. It is also a often misunderstood chapter. And so this morning I want to focus in on one particular aspect of this, but I'll cover several different things. If I were to put a message to a title to the message this morning, it'd simply be this: a living sacrifice. And you'll see as we progress through the message this morning where that comes from. In this chapter, what is in view here is the church, and we're going to see a picture of the church portrayed here in the chapter, and it is a different picture than many other places paint. For example, over in Revelation, in the 19th chapter of Revelation, the church is painted as the bride, and that there is a bridegroom, and Jesus Christ is the bridegroom, and he's coming back for the bride. And the bride in that particular instance is talking about the church. Over in 1 Peter chapter 2, the church is pictured as a building. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the cornerstone, that he is the stone that the builders rejected, that he is the chief cornerstone, according to Scripture. Over in Revelation 19 as well, the church is pictured as an army. And we know that the captain of our salvation is Jesus Christ, and we march to his orders. Over in Psalm 100, the church is pictured as sheep. And several different places in Scripture, the Lord is pictured as the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, as the good shepherd as well. But here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the church is pictured as something entirely different than that. The picture that we have here is the church as a body. The church as a body. He is the head, and we are the members. And it lays that out for us very clearly here in this passage. The whole teaching of the church, if you take every one of those instances and the examples that that they bring, all of those examples point to one thing: the church being a community of some kind. And that community having a leader, having a head, having one that is at the forefront of that. So the community aspect of this says that we're all in this together. And that is a beautiful thing when you begin to think about it, that we are all in this together and that we do have a leader, that we do have a head. Sometimes I talk to folks and they talk with me about how much they love the Lord, but how little they care for church. How much they love the Lord, but they don't really love the church. And I'm afraid what that shows is that you are woefully ignorant of Scripture if that's the case with you. They're inseparable. The Lord and His church are inseparable. Love for Jesus and love for what Jesus loves are to be inseparable. And so when you love one, but you can take or leave the other, then friend, you have missed what Scripture says about the church. So let's begin reading in verse 12. We'll read a little bit, we'll talk a little bit, we'll read a little bit and go a little further. I want to start in verse 12. It says, therefore, as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. This morning as I stand here, what you know of me because of this body. What you know of me because of this body. You might know me by the way I walk. You might know me by the way I talk. You might know me by the way I write. But the way that you're knowing me is all coming from this body. That's how you know me today. Apart from this body, you would not know me. You would not know me at all. You see, who I am manifests itself through this body. Apart from this body, you're not going to know me. The church is Christ's body. What this world knows of Jesus Christ will be because of His body. Apart from His body, this world is going to know nothing of Jesus Christ. He is the invisible part of the visible church. There has only ever been one that has lived the Christian life. Been a lot of triers, but there's only been one that has lived the Christian life. And if any of us live the Christian life, it'll be because Christ is living it through us. The world does not need to see a cheap imitation. It needs to see the Jesus that lives through us, through His body. Listen to me this morning. You can memorize every word in this Bible, from the front end of it to the back end of it. And then you can determine that you are going to do it, that you're going to do it all. And all you'll ever amount to in the doing of that is that you will become a cheap mechanical imitation of Jesus. That's where the teaching on the law comes in and shows us that if we try to do it by rules, that we become a cheap imitation of the real thing. If we try to govern ourselves by rules of the road, then we are going to become a cheap mechanical imitation of the Lord Jesus. You see, it's Jesus that lives through you that reveals Him. Jesus will manifest Himself to this world, but it's only going to be through a body. And the only way that He will be manifest through this body is if this body is yielded to Him. What that means is that we have to be instantly responding. That we need to be instantly listening and responding to His leadership throughout the course of each and every day. Yielded, surrendered, listening, serving. Now, what's the purpose of the body? The purpose of this body that I have on this morning is to minister to me. This body is to minister to me. It's to serve me. My eyes help me to navigate. My feet take me to where I need to be. My hands feed me. My body is supposed to minister to me. What is Salem Sayers Baptist Church here for? It's here to minister to the Lord Jesus Christ. The body is intended to minister to the leader, to the headship. My body's not to make its own plans. It's not to have a mind of its own and do what it wants to do. My body is here to serve me, to do what I want it to do. It's to serve me at my command. If I tell my hand, hand me that pen, and my hand turns to me and says, I don't think so, get it yourself. Oh, and by the way, later, I'm going to pull your boots on, I'm going to shave your face, and I might pick your nose a little after that. See, my body's not supposed to be doing that. My body's supposed to be serving me at my command. And in other words, when my hand would do something like that, what it's really doing is saying, I don't care about you. I'll do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. Now, that's not the way it works, is it? That's not the way it's supposed to work in all of this. And so the Lord is not interested in anything that you do apart from Him. You hear me? He's not interested in anything you do that's apart from Him. He wants to be the one commanding. He wants to be the one in charge of what you do, where you go, how you act, where you present yourself. He doesn't want you to be independent of Him. He wants to live through you. He wants to live through you, yielded to Him, surrendered to Him. He wants to minister, and He wants to minister you to minister to Him under His direction. The church is here to listen to the head and then do it. The church is not here to do it and then ask if it's okay. It's here to listen and then do as the Lord has directed that body to do. This section that we're looking at here is a section on gifting. It's a section on abilities. It's very sad that many don't understand that the giftings are not about us, but about Him. See, that's the reason for the giftings. That's the reason for the abilities that we have. It's not about us. It's not about building us up. It's not about making us look certain ways. It's about how we're supposed to use those to make Him look, to glorify Him in this. We are not gifted so that we can be somebody, but rather we are gifted to show how wonderful somebody else is, and that somebody else being Jesus. Our greatest ability this morning, rank and file, up and down, across the board this morning, our greatest, greatest ability is availability to the Lord. The person in a body desires to be manifest through that body. The body is to minister to that same person. In World War II, during the great conflict there, in Europe, there was a particular time when some soldiers had come into a city there, a town there, and in the course of the events of the conflict, one of the cathedrals was destroyed, and behind it, the courtyard put in disarray. And as some of these Allied soldiers had time to regather in this place, they decided that they would put back together a statue that had been knocked down and beat up of Jesus. And so they went about the process of doing so. And as they began to put that statue back together with their pieces of with the mortar that they had manufactured, they, upon completion, they found out that this statue had no hands. The statue of Jesus had no hands. They could not find them anywhere about there. And so one of the fellows came up with the idea to put a placard in the bottom of the figurine, the statue there, and they simply wrote on that, "He has no hands but ours." Very fitting. And very fitting to the study that we have before us this morning. You know, I'm not sure why we call this a service this morning. I wonder about things sometimes. Do you ever wonder about things? Why do we call this a service? We didn't do God a big favor by coming here, trust me. It wasn't a service that we performed. This isn't the service that this is talking about here. The service that we are going to see here with the body and body life that we have before us this morning, the service that is there starts when we say amen here. That's when the service starts. That's when what we've learned and what we've gained and what the Lord has shown us, the direction that He's giving us, that's when service starts. You see, service starts out here. This is where we need to be serving. This is the place where the body kicks into gear, where body life comes into play. This is where we learn. This is where we grow. This is where we come so that we get a better understanding of what it is that He is directing us to be about in our life. Did you read the blog this morning? That's that little piece of writing on the back end of your program there. That's kind of the gist of what I wanted to get across with that there. That this is important. That what we do here is important. But not in the matter of doing God a favor of by being here and being in community here, but so that we come and we gain and we learn and we have an openness to what He wants to teach and to show and how He wants to grow us. And so then we take what He gives us during this time, and we put it into service. We let Him lead, guide, and direct us into the service that He wants us to be performing as His body, from what He teaches us during our time together today. When we've listened to our head and we go about revealing Him through our lives this week, that, my friend, is body life. That, my friend, is service as unto the Lord. When we're ministering one to another, when we're ministering to the world at large, at His direction, that's service. The body is to manifest a person. The body has a ministering purpose. The body, through power, through power, has a motivating power as well. Let's take a look at that for just a moment. Look at verse 13. It says, "For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." The life of my human body is my human spirit. The ministering power of this body that I have on this morning is the breath that God blew into it. Early on, God scooped up the dust of the ground, and Scripture says that He blew breath into that clay, into that dirt, and that dirt became a living soul. The life of my human body is my human spirit. Spirit, pneuma, ruah in the Hebrew. What has been placed inside of it. He blew the breath of life into the body. It became a living soul. On the cross, Scripture says that Jesus gave up what? He gave up the ghost. Says that He gave up the ghost. He gave up the spirit. His human body gave up the spirit, which is the life in that human body. He gave up the spirit, and the body died. The body has to have a motivating power. The body has to have an activating power. For the human body, that is the human spirit. Now, the motivating power, activating power of Jesus' body, which is the church, is what? The Holy Spirit. Yes? the activating power for the church, the activating power, the motivating power for the church is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be the life of Salem Sayers Baptist Church. It's the life. It is the motivating power. It is the activating power for this body here to be about the Lord's business. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no power in this church. None. There's a difference in an organization and an organism. Big difference in the two, organization and organism. One lives and one does not. An organism lives, an organization does not. Has no life. It is a thing. An organism has life. We can get together a good speaker. We can get together and organize around some causes. We can run it pretty well, and we can call it a church. But just because we got somebody that talks good, got some programs, got some things going on, doesn't mean that that's a church. It can be a very well-organized group, but it does not mean that that is a church. That doesn't make it so. It may do some good, but there's a difference in an organization and an organism. And it is obvious to all who care to see the difference between the two. For those who are discerning, it is obvious to tell what is being run mechanically and what is being moved by the Spirit of God. There's a difference. And boy, he's talking mystical here this morning. Yeah. Yeah, the life of this church is the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God is not here, we do not have the life that we say that we do. It is His power that makes things, that brings things to pass. So, when we're going about mechanically rather than following the leadership of the Lord, then we are not fulfilling our intended purpose as a body. Church is not a corporation with Jesus as its CEO. That does not compute. That does not work. It's a body. It is a body integrated. And He, Jesus, is our head. It's an organism. And the organism is to have life, which means that we're all to be connected in that life. It's connectivity in all of this that makes us the body that God wants to use in His program throughout this world. He has given us an activating, a motivating power to enable that to take place. His Spirit comes in, it quickens our spirit, and it brings new life, which activates us, turns us, or tunes us into His frequency so that we can be in tune with Him and His desires and His wants and His direction for everything that he wants us to do. It enables us to be aware. It enables us to listen. It enables us to respond accordingly. We are baptized into the body. That's what it says. We are baptized into the body. And we are filled with His Spirit. Just like I drink a glass of water and the water goes in me. We are filled with that Spirit. And I'm filled with it the moment it comes into me. I'm filled with it the moment that I'm saved. At the moment of salvation, I'm filled. There's a baptism that takes place. I am placed into the body of Christ. Simultaneously, I am filled with that Spirit. It says here that everybody that gets saved gets all the Spirit at one shot. That's what it says. That we're all baptized into one body and we get all the Spirit that we're going to get there at that moment. All in all. That there's not a second dip, that there's not a second blessing, that there's not a second round of any of this that takes place. If you have none of the Holy Spirit, then you are none of His. It's all at once. He baptizes us into this body and at the same time fills us with His Spirit and activates us. We are activated. with that motivated power to press on from that moment on. I'm gifted at the moment that I'm baptized into this body. I am gifted at that moment. I might be an eye to see things like Jesus sees things. I might be a foot to go somewhere that the Lord wants me to be. I might be a foot to kick somebody in the tail to get them moving. The moment that I'm baptized into the body, I am gifted in the body. Given something that connects me to you. Something that connects you to me. So that we work dependent upon each other. Not independently. This goes back to loving Jesus but not loving the church again. You see, we are connected when we are baptized into the body. Gifted as such. Filled from this side. I mean, it's all in all, inside, outside, everywhere, you see. And connects us to this body in order to get to be able to respond to what the Lord wants from each and every one of us and all of that. He places us as it pleases Him, it says. He places us as it pleases Him. Wonder why so many times we get angry with somebody else because they're not doing what we do. They're not doing it how we do things. They're not in tune with how we think it ought to be done. See, it pleased the Lord to put them in that role, and it pleased the Lord to put you in this role. You do your job, and you encourage them to do their job and quit being jealous of each other and jealous of the way things are taking place. Do as you're to do. Let them do as they're to do, and it will happen that we are connected in that. The void will be filled by the Lord in the midst of that, because that will reach and this will reach, and His ends will be put out to the ends of the earth, you see. He places us as it pleases Him. So what we get is a birthday gift at the new birth. We get a birthday gift at the new birth. The moment we're saved, we get this gift because by virtue of being placed into the body of Christ, baptized into the body of Christ, a gift that we can use that is a connector to bring us all together and get things moving the right direction. When I'm filled with the Spirit, I'm empowered to use the gift that I'm given. All. Means all. No second blessing. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. That's the long and the short of that. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Read that up. Paul says that over in Romans chapter 8. So, let's take a look at verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear will say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? The whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. That means that there's no Lone Ranger Christians. No Lone Rangers. There's a connection, a connectivity that has to be taking place. Let's think about this for just a moment, if you will. If you came into this place this morning and you went over to your assigned pew and you started to walk down your assigned pew there and you looked on the floor and you saw a hand laying there, severed from a body, laying on the floor, would you simply walk in, kick it to the side and go on about your business? Or would it horrify you? It would horrify you. To see a hand disconnected, lying in the middle of the floor here. This ought to be a horrifying thought to us, for part of our body to be lying somewhere, being unused, being disconnected from this body. There are those Lone Ranger Christians in here this morning that say, I just have a relationship with Jesus and I can have it anywhere and I don't need the church. What you're saying is, I'm okay being a hand severed from a body lying in the floor somewhere. That's what you're saying. How would you have responded this morning had you opened up your sock drawer, opened that thing up, and there a bunch of eyeballs rolled over? Huh? Disconnected from a body. Disembodied. See, this is not God's design. God's design is for the body to function and work together, to respond as it should, to grow together, to help each other, to be members one of another, you see, as he says there. We'll be working together if we understand Scripture aright. The body has organs, it has systems. They interact seamlessly. You want to talk about a miracle? This body is a miracle. And it interacts seamlessly. The pieces and parts of that, parts that you can see and parts that you cannot see, work together to make this thing run and function the way that it should. The foot says, I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Some things you see and some things you don't see. Some folks are good out front, some folks are good behind the scenes. But it takes both to make things happen. You have to have those that are willing to be out front. You have to also have those that are willing to grease the mechanics and work through things and turn the bolts and make things happen in the background. And none of them is more important than the other. They both have to be there. They both have to be working. Both have to be pulling in the same direction in order for the body to function exactly how it's supposed to be. We have the same life. Get me on that, if you will. We have the same life. We have the same life. When we come into this relationship with Jesus Christ, we're all given the same life, you see. And for us to discount someone else's life or discount someone else's service is to do a disservice to the body. We need each other. Boy, I said all that to just say that. We need each other. We cannot thrive independent of each other. We have to be connected. We have to be together. We have to be seamless. Look at verse 25. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. I love my church. What does that mean? That means I love you. I love you. I love my church. If I go out here and somebody starts running my church down, I might have to say something. Not because of who I am, but because of who you are. I love you. And I know you. And that ought to be every one of us. We ought to love each other and love our church to such a degree that we are not going to stand for assaults, that we're not going to stand for things like that. We need to love, care about what takes place. Listen, by the same token, when somebody praises our church, it ought not to make us jealous when they praise one piece of the ministry here. Because one piece of the ministry can't exist by itself. It takes the rest of it to allow that to be the part that does something here. And so when they're praising this piece, what they're really doing is praising the whole part, the whole thing. And so we ought to take that as a source of great value of man, the Lord being glorified, rather than, well, you know, it's not my ministry and not my part in it and everything. Listen to me, friend. If we take praise towards any piece of the Awanas, take praise towards that as a hand laying out here, what good is that? The hand has to be connected in order for that to do what it's supposed to be doing here. And so praise for that piece does not mean that there's no praise for any of the rest of it that takes place. But by the same token, whenever we have a problem with one, it's a systemic problem with everything, you see. We're connected, the good and the bad. It's us, it's not him, it's not them, it's not they. Huh? How many times have I heard folks say, their academy? Huh? Their school. Wake up. Them is us. Huh? It's us when these things are, when we look at it in a proper perspective. You know, behind the scenes, as we work here at this church, we have spleens, and we have red blood cells, and other parts that are just plain private. And we can't be self-sufficient in this. We have to be in harmony. We have to be in unity to be the body that we ought to be. Loyalty to Him is loyalty to each other. Amen or oh my? Loyalty to Him is loyalty to each other. You can't separate the two. He's the head, we're the body. You can't just have a loyalty to the head. You have to have a loyalty to each other as well. I love the church because Christ loves the church. He loves the church. Therefore, I love the church. Do you love the church? He loves you. Do you love the church? So here's what I want you to take away from this morning. Just a simple couple of things. First thing I want you to do is accept yourself. Okay? Accept yourself. You're not somebody else. You're not gifted like somebody else. You don't have the abilities of somebody else. You have your gifts and you have your abilities. Accept yourself. I remember early on, I wanted to preach like everybody else. I wanted to preach like all the big names. I wanted to be this week, and next week I wanted to be that. And I wanted to model myself after this and that and the other. And it finally came down to it, and I said, I'm no good at being them. I stink at being that. So I'm just going to be me. Now I know it's not good. But I am what I am, and I've accepted that. And the Lord can use me for what I am and who I am. And the Lord can use you for who you are and what He's gifted you to be. Accept yourself like you are. You don't have to be a hand if you're a foot. You don't have to be an eye if you're an ear. And not all of us can be an armpit, amen? Huh? Accept yourself for who you are. But don't be satisfied. Be the best that you can be at being you. That's what the Lord requires of you. Be the best that you can be at being you. Amen? Second thing I want you to take away from this morning. Give yourself to the members. Give yourself to the other members. We have to be giving. That's what the Lord requires of us in this body life, that we be givers. Give yourselves to the other members. Listen, when a cell begins to start taking, a cell in your body begins to start taking and taking and taking and taking instead of giving what it's supposed to be giving, when a cell in your body starts taking and taking, you know what that's called? It's called cancer. That's where cancer comes from, is cells that begin to take and take and take and take and take. Listen, friends, you gotta give in order to get. And so, as a body, we need to give ourselves to the other members. When we all give, listen to this, we all receive. When we all give like we should, then we all receive. You get that? It's when we divorce ourselves from being a part of that body and quit doing what the Lord has asking of us to advance His purposes on this earth, and we start hoarding and taking instead of giving, we hurt the body. It's a cancer. And that cancer begins to spread as people begin to say, mine, 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 and pull themselves back into this center of the nucleus of me. So accept yourself and be the best that you can be. And two, give yourself to the other members. Give yourself to each other. It's called body life. Now, I haven't said anything here that moved outside of this passage other than Romans chapter 8. But see where this is embodied is over in Romans chapter 12, where it says there, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. That's your reasonable worship. Your reasonable worship is to present your bodies, to present that to the Lord, for Him to be able to use as He sees fit, to respond to Him, to yield to Him, to surrender to Him, to be the body that He has called and designed you to be. Everybody okay? Two action steps for today. Take a look. Pray about it. Take you some notes about what the Lord's telling you in your heart of hearts right now about where He wants you and how He wants you responding to what He's revealing to you of Himself on this particular day. Boy, He deserves a body. A body that will do as He commands, rather than a body that slaps Him every time it turns around and says, I'll do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. Yes? Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You so much, Lord, for the great group that is assembled here this morning. I thank You, Lord, for the attentive manner in which each one, Lord, has listened here this day. And Lord, I trust that by Your Spirit, that one by which You've placed us into the same body, and Lord, filled us and gifted us, that by that Spirit, Lord God, that You would teach us this morning. I trust that that is taking place across this auditorium. I pray, Lord, now that You'd help us to respond right to what we've learned. Lord, that we might accept ourselves. Lord, we might be messed up, but Lord, we are who we are. Lord, help us to understand who we are and how we can fit into Your program and Your plan. Help us to accept who we are, but not to accept us being mediocre in a relationship with You being mediocre. Lord God, that we accept ourselves and our giftings and our abilities as they are, and Lord, just rely on You to use them to the fullest extent. I ask You, Father, this morning that You might make our members givers. And Lord, You know that I'm not talking monetarily, although, Lord, that is a good indicator of where a heart might be standing. Lord, help us to be givers one to another. Lord, when we take and take and take, Lord, it creates a problem in a body. Help us to be givers, Lord, that we might receive in the end. Help us to be about Your business. Now, Father, I'm going to pray, Lord, for those that are here this morning that don't have a relationship with You. Lord, don't have any giftings, never been baptized into the body, haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, have never come to the end of themselves and received You in the pardon and forgiveness of sins. I'm praying for those individuals this morning. Lord God, that You'd give them the courage to make this the first day of a brand new life. Lord, to understand that sin is going to be the death of them. And Lord, that You've made a provision, a way, Lord God, that we might be able to, these folks might be able to come into Your family. And Lord, they can do it today by simply receiving You, inviting You to be the Lord and Savior of their life, turning away from the sin, Lord God, that has plagued them, turning away from an old way of life, and turning by faith to follow You, responding, Lord God, as a body would to Your commands. So I pray, dear God, that You might impress that upon lost souls here this morning. And then, Lord, that You might give courage to step out and make a way to an old-fashioned altar and get that taken care of today. Lord, there are folks that are lagging in obedience today. It's something as simple as following in believer's baptism. Lord, there are folks that are putting off things that they know that they need to do. There's folks that have been putting You off in service and putting You off in so many different ways. And I just pray, dear God, Lord, that You might bring the body back together. Bring that harmony, that unity. Lord, bring them one by one back to the place of surrender this day. Oh, we'll be careful to give you the praise, Lord. We'd love to see your Spirit moving and coursing through the life of this church. Moving and having your being in your people. And we'd ask you, Father, to remove the hindrances, to get self out of the way, Lord, that that might be accomplished, that your name might be advanced to the end of the world. So, Father, ambitious prayer this morning. But, Lord, I know the power that motivates and activates today. And I'm praying, Lord God, for that motivating, activating power to come down on this body in this place. For Father, I pray it believing that it can happen. And I pray it in Jesus' name. And amen.